Hi, welcome to Teshuvah, Return and Reboot. We will explore reflections on evidence-based strategies inspired by our tradition to return to our best selves and to renew our capacity to grow and change. My name is Michelle Sarna, and I am a licensed psychologist who works in private practice and in school, camp, and community settings. And it is truly my honor to join you on this journey of leveraging science and our deep and rich tradition to helping us find new meaning and new motivation to embrace Teshuvah completely and fully from a new angle. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. Today, I wanted to talk about one of the primary perspectives of embarking on this journey of Teshuvah. And we are first going to look at the paradigm that Rav Kook sets for looking at Teshuvah. So Rav Kook reframes Teshuvah in a very compelling way. He describes Teshuvah as Ha'i sheyashuv ha'adam el atzmo el shoresh nishmato. Tshuva is a return of each individual to themselves, to the source of their neshama, of their unique divine spirit. And in doing that, Rav Kook reframes how we typically think of tshuva. We traditionally have thought of tshuva as returning to Hashem, returning towards Torah, returning towards mitzvot, returning to and deepening our connection to Hashem. And Rav Kook adds a different layer to this. It's not just about returning to Hashem. It's returning to the unique divine spark of Hashem that makes us an individual. And it's, in essence, returning to ourselves or to our purpose. Now, there was a famous Jewish psychiatrist who actually talked a lot about discovering one's purpose and how finding one's purpose actually can renew life with meaning and actually even give people the capacity to endure horrific situations because of identifying and holding on to one's sense of purpose and mission. And that psychiatrist was Viktor Frankl, who was born at the very beginning of the 20th century in Vienna, Austria, and got his degree in psychiatry. He initially began working actually in a high school, and he helped high school students who were struggling with depression. And his efforts were so successful that he essentially almost eliminated the risk of suicidality within that high school. He then had other posts and soon was caught in the terrible storm and nightmare of the Holocaust and sent to a concentration camp. In the concentration camp, he looked all around and he saw people suffering and enduring unimaginable losses and tragedies. And he wanted to use his experiences and his training and his incredible capacity for compassion and empathy to support the people around him. So he ended up asking people to identify what is the one thing in their life that is worth living for, that gives them a sense of mission and purpose. And by helping people identify their source of mission, whether it was surviving to care for a child, whether it was surviving to go to the Holy Land, whatever that purpose was, it empowered some people against all odds to really persevere. And when Viktor Frankl survived the Holocaust and was liberated from the concentration camp, he started a field of psychology called logotherapy, which centers on helping people find their sense of purpose. How do we consider or discover what our sense of purpose is? So for some of us, it's something so intuitive, something that we think about all the time. And for others, it might not be as close to our consciousness. It might be something that we may need to think deeply about. But whatever our purpose is, it can help us orient our other efforts and hard work and goals and really stay focused. Now, sometimes our sense of purpose is actually not what we had expected. And when we take time to reflect and dig deep, we might actually discover something that surprises us. When my husband and I first moved to downtown Manhattan about 20 years ago, we soon befriended a young couple that were the pastors of a small church in the East Village. And they had lived there for decades and actually raised their two children in that neighborhood. And they described to us how, as young parents, the neighborhood was filled with drugs and crime, and how they had to maneuver their stroller, their baby stroller, over drug needles and around homeless people that were victims of substance abuse and crime and homelessness. And it was in that neighborhood that they had the opportunity to build a church, a small church, and they were so excited to bring some light and spirituality into the dark neighborhood. And they opened up the small church, and it was modest, but it had freshly coated paint on the exterior, and they were so excited to introduce it to the community. But every morning, they would go to the church and find layers of graffiti, and they would get very disheartened, and they would try to clean away the graffiti, which to them symbolized that despite the dirt and the garbage and the despair and the darkness in the lives of the people that they were serving, they were going to have a church that seemed clean and new and that honored the community members with the dignity that they deserved. And yet, every time they painted the church afresh, they would find new layers of graffiti. And as they were in this process of trying to keep the church fresh and clean, they also started to meet the community members and to learn about their stories and their pain and to discover, like, all of the unique personalities and special people that lived in their neighborhood that they felt privileged to serve. And after some time, they realized that the graffiti on their church was actually an apt representation of the people they were serving. And instead of trying to paint the church, they decided to embrace the graffiti and instead to rename the church the Graffiti Church and to welcome people as they were, not to expect people to have to change to be fully welcome as members of their community, but to just embrace them with all of their scars and blemishes and bruises, physical and emotional, just as they were. And the church ended up becoming a beautiful community of people that had suffered and struggled and found each other and found new meaning and new purpose. So in that moment, the pastors were able to discover the value of rediscovering one's purpose. And sometimes it means turning what we thought was our purpose and mission upside down and having the courage, bravery, and insight to be able to do that. Have an excellent day. I hope you feel empowered to reflect and to renew and to grow. And thank you so much for joining me.